Instead, what we're going to talk about this morning is prayer. And as I alluded to in the time with the children, we're going to talk about prayer in a much larger sense. If we look at our James reading, and this is where we're coming from primarily today, if we were so inclined, we could create a very narrow and a very peculiar and, to be quite honest with you, a quite inadequate doctrine of prayer from this passage. And as I've mentioned at least once before, that if you're going to read James, you need to read all of it. You need to make sure that you get the context of what's happening, because if you just pluck out individual verses here and there, James has a possibility of making your life kind of miserable when he talks about how, you know, if you don't do the right thing, then how can you say you're a Christian or whatever else. Well, you need to read the whole context so it makes more sense, and prayer is something that has a much larger context even than the book of James. And so we're going to be looking at James primarily, but certainly bringing in some of the rest of Scripture as far as what prayer is and how it works and how it accomplishes what it needs to accomplish. Because if we just look at the few verses in James, what we'll see is that if we do things the right way, if we get properly constituted elders to put oil on someone who's sick and pray, they will be healed. Except what happens when they're not? Because this does happen. There are a number of religious groups, denominations, who have taken this passage of Scripture very seriously, and that's part of what they do. But if this is your only teaching on prayer, and your elders anoint someone with oil and pray that they be healed and they're not, then you don't really have a lot of answers other than somebody isn't righteous enough. Because it says right there, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Except what is righteous enough? What does righteous look like? How do we measure that? How do we know what's going on if this prayer isn't answered? Well, instead of looking at these three or four verses, let's look at the much larger picture of what prayer is and how it works. Assuming works isn't a misuse of the word prayer to begin with. When we first have children, or when we first encounter babies, we sort of think that there can't be anything more wonderful than that. Baby shows up, they're cute, they're everything. In our case, you know, we even had one for each of us. We each got to hold a baby, and we just thought, you know, can it get any better than this? Well, it can. At the beginning, a baby is just all about what they need. They need to eat, they need to be changed, they need help going to sleep, and that's about it. As relationships go, it's not particularly rich, if you will, but with your baby, you think this is just the most amazing thing ever. And then, they get older. And they become toddlers, and they move around. And even before they can talk, they smile at you, and you think, it can't get any better than this. It's the most wonderful thing. And then they start to talk. And they can ask you for things, but they can also give you things. First time one of your children says, I love you, Daddy, is just the most amazing thing ever. And you think, it can't get any better than this. And yet it continues. The relationship grows and becomes richer with the interactions we have. The relationship existed in the beginning, of course. But the relationship was simply one on the baby's side of saying, this is what I need, in this nonverbal way that babies make their needs known. And that was it. There wasn't a lot of give and take. It was a lot of, well, you give and they take. And that's okay. That's what it is with babies. That's how the relationship begins. But if it stayed there, if that's all it ever was, would it be as satisfying and as rich as the relationship you have with a 5-year-old or 12-year-old, teenager, a young adult? No, it wouldn't be anywhere near as close. When we first move into a relationship with God through Jesus, we're very much like that baby. Our first interaction with God is just saying, I need you, period. I need this relationship. And whether it comes through confirmation, whether it comes as part of our baptism, whether it comes as it did for me in later years in my 20s, it begins with a simple I need. And it stays there for a while, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that's not enough for a full, rich relationship. And the way we build our relationship and work on our relationship with God is through prayer. But not just the prayer of, this is what I need. Not the shopping list prayers are sometimes called. That's part of prayer, of course. In the same way that my children, at 16 and 6, they know that I am going to the store and they will ask me to pick things up for them. And that's fine. They frequently ask, we frequently get them. Sometimes they ask for things like chocolate bars and they don't get those. But every once in a while, Neela in particular will say, well, you know, if you're going to the store, can you buy me a chocolate bar? And I'll come home and say, well, here's all their stuff. Did you buy me a chocolate bar? Well, no, I didn't, because you just had a chocolate bar, and you shouldn't eat too many chocolate bars. They're good, but they're only, you know, good for you once in a while. But I did buy you some chocolate milk. Is that okay? That's better. You don't get that very often, but when you do, you rejoice, let me tell you. Because sometimes what you think is better is completely hopeless, which is just the way it goes. And I can't read my kids' minds any more than they can read their parents' minds. But that's how it is with prayer. Sometimes we ask in the context of a larger relationship. My children don't ask strangers who are going into the grocery store to buy them chocolate bars. Well, certainly not now. I don't know if they ever did when they were really small, but they certainly don't now. It comes out of the context of a larger relationship. And we need to have that larger relationship with God. It's not just about asking for things. It's about being in conversation with God. And to do that, I think we need to expand our view of what prayer can be or what prayer is. We tend to think that prayer happens and only happens when we set aside time for it. When we have the prayer that opens the service, prayers for the people that will happen after the sermon. In our own devotional time, when we read scripture or we read a devotional text of some sort, and then we say, now it's time to pray. These are all prayer. They're all very significant, extremely important, even vital. But that's not the limit to prayer. In the same way that your children, your friends, your family, whoever it might be, can communicate with you without being right there, communication with the people that matter to you isn't only face-to-face. Sometimes it's over the phone, that's different. Sometimes it's by email. Sometimes it's by something where you come home and someone in your life has left a little something for you on the table. A note. A chocolate bar, it's been known to happen. Whatever it might be. That's all part of communication. It's all part of building the relationship. But it's not talking. Can we build a relationship with God when we're not talking explicitly to Him? And yes, we certainly can. It takes a bit of practice, but it's not hard. Almost always, when I see, you know, the moon is, it's nice and low on the horizon, so it looks like it's as big can be, especially if it's that lovely orange harvest color. It just, my heart just lifts. I love the moon. And when I see that, I don't pull over if I'm driving and have a prayer time. But I often say, that's wonderful, thank you. And it's building that relationship. It's paying attention to the fact that God made this world for us that has a moon that makes me happy. I'm sure He could have arranged for tides to work without a moon. He's God. He can do whatever He wants. He can do whatever He needs. Or maybe the moon would be invisible. Or maybe it would be ugly. I don't know. The fact is, none of those things happened. And when I express my gratitude to God for the beautiful moon, for the leaves that decided to fall off the trees en masse in Regina, I don't know what it was like here. Yesterday we had one street. This morning when I stepped out, it was a completely different one because it was covered with a carpet of leaves, which just makes me happy. And when it makes me happy, I have tried hard, and I do it often, although not as often as I'd like, and certainly not as often as perhaps I should, to use this as a moment to go, this is wonderful, thank you, God. It's not a prayer time in the same way that anointing someone with oil is, or getting physically on my knees. But it's prayer just the same. And it's that kind of prayer that builds the relationship. In the same way that it's hard to have a relationship with someone if you say the only time this can happen is when we're in the same place talking face to face. It's hard to build a relationship on the basis of a single kind of interaction. When I'm making a decision, or when I need to make a decision, or I'm wondering what to do next, and I think I've got a good idea, if I send this little prayer to God along the lines of, well, I need to do this next thing, and I think I'm going to do it this way, unless you tell me otherwise. That's building the relationship. And often, God will work in these, what at first seem almost inexplicable ways. Either I will feel that, no, that's not really the way to go, or someone will show up and says, you know, I hear you're doing this thing, you should try it this way. And I pay attention to those kinds of things because that's building the relationship. Prayer is how we build the relationship that we have with God. And yes, we ask for things. But one of the things we need to remember, in the same way that my children can ask me for something and maybe they'll get it, maybe they won't, maybe it'll be better, maybe it'll be worse, the asker doesn't always get to determine the answer. When we ask God for things, which we should, as we talked about a few weeks ago in James, you don't have because you don't ask. Ask for what you want. When somebody's sick, I don't pray that I hope something good happens. I say, make them better. Say, God, you can do this, you can do anything, you created the universe, you created this person, make them better, heal them, take away that pain, whatever it might be. And it's taken me a while, I have learned that just because I think that's what's best, it doesn't mean that is what's best. But in the same way that I'm not hedging my bets, or I'm not making an excuse for God, a preemptive excuse, what I try to do when I pray is say things like, in my mind, the thing that makes the most sense is that they are miraculously and instantaneously healed. That the broken bones just knit together like that. That the cold or the cancer or whatever it is just goes away. And we'll all rejoice and we'll give you the credit. But if you don't do that, I'm not going to say, God, that you didn't listen. And I'm even going to work hard to not say that you didn't answer. Everybody that Jesus healed died. Everybody that's ever been prayed for healing in the prayer of faith will eventually be fully, completely, totally healed. But they might have to die first too. If I were to have a migraine, which happens far more frequently than I'd like, and I pray that God take the migraine away, and he does, in a miraculous, momentary, instantaneous kind of thing. Does that mean that my knees, which are, well, they're 50 years old, and they haven't been cared for as well as, you know, there wasn't a lot of preventative maintenance when I was younger. Does that mean my knees are never going to hurt again? No. Was I healed? Yes. Was I fully healed? No. No one in this life will ever be fully healed. Because we always live in this fallen world. We will be healed to an extent, we'll be healed in a particular way, but it won't be until we are with God in heaven when God returns, whatever that's going to look like, and perfection comes, and the fallen nature of the earth is dispensed with, then, and only then, will we all be healed. So of course we pray for healing now. But we hold lightly onto what the answer might be. Because we can't ever determine what potential good things can come out of an illness. And I'm not saying good things always come out of illness, because they don't. But sometimes they do. Sometimes the rest that we get recovering from the flu also helps us recover from that sense of burnout at work or whatever else it might be. We pray for what we want. We ask for what we want. But we always remember that God knows best. In the same way, that little statistic I brought up, I think it was just last Sunday, that a year after someone has become a paraplegic and a year after somebody's won the lottery, they're just as happy. That doesn't make any sense. But maybe it does. Maybe what we think is best is just one of the possibilities. We ask God for things like healing because we know He can. And the asking builds the relationship as well. You don't ask people for things that you know they can't do. I'm not going to ask Tina to fly me home. First of all, she can't fly. And that's about all you need to know. I'm not going to ask her that. I'm not going to ask anybody to do something they can't do. That doesn't make any sense. So why do we ask God to heal people? Because we have the trust that He can. And when we express trust in each other, it builds a relationship. It does the same with God. When we do with each other, it builds a relationship in both directions in a way that isn't the same with God. When I tell my children I trust them to make good choices, and then they go off and make good choices, it's good for both of us. But when I ask God for what I think I need, it's a reminder to me, not to Him, that He can. And it strengthens the relationship. Prayer is all about relationship. About building the relationship, about enriching it with God. If we never pray in any way, we'll always be like that baby. It's possible, I suppose, I don't know for sure, it's possible to move into that relationship with God and then never have it progress. I'm not sure how, but I suppose it could be done. But is that the kind of relationship you want? The fact that when a baby first shows up in your life, you can't imagine how it could be better, doesn't mean that it can't get better. And it does get better. But after a few of these stages, I wonder what it'll be like when my high school kids are college age, whether they're in college or not. I expect it will be better. Oh, sure, there'll be challenges, but I expect it will be better. It took me a few decades to realize this, but every decade is better than the one before. These are the things that you learn, that experience teaches you, that as we move into this time with God, whether it's that prayer closet that I was always told about when I was little growing up in church and had no idea where a prayer closet was. We didn't have a prayer closet. We had a broom closet, which was too small to get into, and a linen closet that was even smaller, so I didn't know what that was. Prayer doesn't only happen in those times that we set aside. Prayer happens every time that we involve God in our lives. Every time we're grateful for what we see. Every time we're watching the news and we see a catastrophe somewhere and we have that momentary, God, I hope you do something there. It's all part of building the relationship, and it's all prayer. Prayer is not limited to these few verses in James, any more than my relationship with my children is limited to when we're in the same room. A text builds a relationship if you want it to. A picture that Neela draws for me and says, take this to work and show it to your work friend, builds that relationship. I wasn't too sure where we were going to go on prayer today, but I knew it was something that we need to talk about, that we need to remind ourselves that those prayers we have that aren't even articulated, or for that matter, that we can't even articulate when we're going for a walk, going for a drive, or falling to sleep, or just waking up, whenever they might be, are just as much prayer as saying the Lord's Prayer together. There is no one kind of prayer that's better than another. They're all good. They all build the relationship. And it's something we can all do, and I suspect we all already do, often. Let your prayer times with God be as diverse as your interactions with your best friend, your spouse, parents, children, friends, whatever they are. They come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. They look differently, they're long, they're short. It works the same with God. that business in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. I used to think, well, how do you do that? Every time I remind myself that God is here, I'm praying. We pray without ceasing by never trying to live our life as if God isn't here. Prayer is one of God's great gifts to us. And it's something we can exercise anywhere, anytime. There are no rules. There is no right way or wrong way. There are some things we should avoid, like I said. Don't insist that the answer look like this or that. But don't let the fact that you might not know what to say stop you from praying. Just pray. Just remind yourself that God's here, that He loves you, that He built us a world, that we look around and we see wonderful things all the time. And the relationship will grow through that prayer. Amen.